The gospel for the third Sunday of Easter invites us into Luke's account of the Easter events. This, it needs to be noted, is the third Sunday of Easter, not the second Sunday after Easter, as we used to say. This is, Easter needs more than one Sunday to draw out the meaning and the significance of the Lord's resurrection. So instead of one Sunday, Easter is extended to a season. It takes a whole season to do that. So all the way from Easter Sunday to Pentecost, we're drawing out the significance of the resurrection of our Lord, and even more than that. So the early church made every Sunday a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord by worshiping and gathering for worship, not on Saturday, on the Sabbath, but on Sunday, on the day of resurrection. So every Sunday would be a celebration of our Lord's resurrection. So now to Luke's account. This follows immediately after those Easter morning events in Luke, the visit of the women to the tomb, finding it empty, encountering angels who proclaimed to them that Jesus was alive, rushing back to tell the disciples with great excitement, but then finding the disciples dismissed them out of hand as women with idle tales, and they did not believe them. So what follows immediately now is this account that's told only by Luke. It's a narrative journey, so I think it's best told rather than read. And it's best experienced in the first person, because I think Luke intentionally leaves room in this account for each of us. And so, as we're abiding by stay-at-home rules, maybe experiencing quarantine fatigue, a new term, maybe it'd be good for us all to get out and take this journey. It's not terribly far. Emmaus is 7 miles from Jerusalem. So I invite you to take this journey together, and we've got to beware that this will be a shocking journey. We're traveling from one shocking event to another. We're moving from the shock of Jesus' absence, his crucifixion, death, and burial, to the shock of his presence, that he is alive, that he has risen from the dead. The gospel according to Luke chapter 24. Glory to you, O Lord. The Sabbath is over. A dismal Sabbath, the worst ever. Think about the worst trauma and the darkest disappointment and the deepest grief that you've ever experienced. Wrap them all together, and you'll feel something of what we're feeling as we set out for Emmaus. We're leaving all else behind, all that has taken us, all that has been taken from us. It's been ripped away from us, wrenched away. All that has brought us to this place has been torn away. When Jesus was crucified, it was not just the death of our beloved friend, Jesus of Nazareth, but it was the death of our rabbi, our teacher, who had led us to new depths in faith. It was the death of our leader who had marshaled us into a movement of reform and new prospects for our people. When Jesus died, it was the death of our hopes. Our hopes died with him. Our movement died with him. The groundswell of renewal and expectation, the rush of excitement, seeing God's presence and power active right before our eyes, in our own time, in our own place. Our long-awaited Messiah had arrived. We acclaimed him king. The time of his coming had arrived. We accompanied him to Jerusalem and acclaimed him the king who comes in the name of the Lord, that climactic moment. He had arrived. We had arrived. God's Messiah had arrived. God was acting to visit and redeem our people. But now that's all over. All that died with him. And we're going back. We're going back to where we were before. No worse than that. Having come so far, having been so close, now our hopes lie shattered, and we leave all else behind, wallowing in despair as we are, dazed and dismal. So it's just me and you and Cleopas recounting these events as we walk, and so lost in despair that we hardly notice that someone else has joined in. Someone else has joined us, now walking with us. We barely look up as he enters in. He says, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" We stopped, stood still, looking as dismal as we felt. Then Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only stranger? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" The stranger said to them, to us, "What things?" And we said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be crucified and condemned him to death. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels, and they said that he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then the stranger said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then he began to walk us through the scriptures, beginning with the Torah, and on through the prophets, all the things concerning the Messiah, all the things we had known and heard, but never connected, never put together in such a compelling way. All the things that we had confused with other expectations and urban legends that made his death the end of our hopes. Well, by then, we had arrived at our place in Emmaus, He appeared to be going further, but we implored him to stay with us, and so we set about putting together an evening meal. As we sat at table, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to us. Something in the words he spoke, something in his actions that transported us to the barren hills beside the Sea of Galilee, with those hills clad with a multitude of people who had come a long way, who had come a long way and brought no food with them, when all we could find on that day was some lad's meager lunch, a few loaves and a couple fish. How Jesus had taken the loaves and broken them, blessed and broke them and gave them for all to eat. And how, when all was done and all had eaten their fill, we took up baskets full of what was left over. When that scene came to our minds, our eyes were opened and we recognized him. We blinked our eyes in amazement. Could it really be? We each glanced at the other to see if the other was seeing the same, or was it just an hallucination? And when we looked back, he was gone. But how real, how stunning his presence was. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? It seems so obvious to us now. Why wasn't it clear to us then? Why didn't we know who was walking with us, who was talking with us, who was lifting our hopes out of the ashes? The presence of the risen one. So we hurried back to Jerusalem, back the same road we had come. Yet now everything about it feels different. We feel different. We feel alive, awash in hope, not as a wish, but as a certainty. So we arrived breathless in that upper room, just like Mary before us. Now we poured out our experience with equal excitement, what had happened on the road, how the risen Lord had walked with us, how he revealed himself to us, first of all, through the scriptures, how he revealed himself to us then in the breaking of the bread. And this time, the disciples were not walled off in disbelief, dismissing us as delusionary, just idle tales. This time, it was different. Simon Peter had also seen him. Then, all of us would see him present in our midst, saying, "Peace be with you." So we've discovered, in our experience, we've discovered the risen Lord meets us where we are, wherever we are, in our fears, in our loss, in our disbelief, in our grief and pain. And he walks with us in our hopelessness, giving birth to a new and living hope so we can lift up our heads and walk confidently into the future, no matter what that future holds. Amen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all God's creation. Heavenly Father, guide your church in this time of crisis to witness Easter hope. Even as we shelter in place, show us how to celebrate life and share the good news. Because we can't be together physically, we can't do so many of the things that we think of as church. Sing hymns, have communion, share stories at coffee hour. Remind us that the early church was without buildings. Inspire us to new ways of worship, fellowship, and evangelism. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Holy Lord, we pray for our leaders as they struggle to respond to the medical, social, and economic crises brought on by this virus. We pray for President Trump, for Dr. Fauci and the virus team, for governors, for legislators, for hospital administrators, for protesters, for journalists. Bring us together as communities, as a nation, as an international family, to pool our knowledge and resources in a common effort to bring healing, to provide hope, to restore societies. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Loving Father, we ask for healing. We pray for all those who have contracted the virus, especially the elderly and vulnerable. We pray for all who are confined to retirement homes, ships, or prisons. Guide and protect medical workers, family members, and essential workers who must risk their lives to care for others. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
God of love, we pray for those who don't have the virus but still need your love and care. We pray for our families and friends listed in the bulletin and for all that we now name, silently or aloud. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful earth, for springtime rain and flowers. Thank you for Earth Day and the reminder that we are called to live responsibly, caring for this earth as the only home we have. Guide all who have responsibility for environmental policies to make wise decisions. Encourage each of us to do our own part. Listen now to the people of Advent as they raise their individual concerns. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
God of all eternity, we pray for those who have died or those who now face death, their own or someone they love. Grant them the reassurance of Easter, that as you loved your Son, you also love us and give us hope of new life. We pray to the Lord.
Your will be done.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Join together in the prayer our Lord taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning. As sure as you are aware, most of Advent's regular activities are either suspended or virtual, but I do have a few announcements I'd like to share. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Schutze for being with us this morning and for his message about Emmaus, and we look forward to your being here next Sunday, I think. Second, I want to invite everyone to join our virtual coffee hour. You can do that on the Facebook website. The discussion question this week is, who was the most important spiritual influence during your childhood? Marianne Hahn had posted the message on Advent's Facebook page shortly before the service is over, and she says if you refresh your page, the coffee hour post should be right at the top, and you can share your stories. Third, if you need pastoral services and would like help getting groceries or just want to chat, please phone the church office. We have set up teams to respond to Advent family needs. In addition, Pastor Anna has promised that she will also respond to telephone calls. And I would like to encourage you to use your church directory to call each other to strengthen the Advent family. Leaf through it and find somebody you haven't talked to recently and give them a call or an email. I also want to call your attention to something that was in this week's What's Happening that Nancy sent out. It was under the title of ELCA, a social message. The ELCA, Lutheran Church in Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has drafted a statement on what it means to be a Christian in a democracy. It's called the Discipleship in a Democracy. And they would like us to look at this, and if we have comments, to provide those comments. I actually took a little time with it, and it's an interesting statement. And I would say that because so many of us here at Advent have either worked in government service or have worked for organizations that work for the government, we are uniquely qualified to look at this and make comments. So I encourage you, it'll probably take you maybe a half an hour to look at it, but I encourage you to do that because I think we here at Advent have a unique ability to make some helpful comments. Finally, I'm sure that most of you have read that we have repaved the front driveway, and all I want to say about that is that we need to let it rest for a week. So if you come to church, please use the back parking lot, and then by next Sunday, we should be open regular use. So thank you. Let us now then join in our closing hymn, Thine is the Glory.
Thank you.
creation. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Go in peace, love, and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.